Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now Dave, we're going to focus a bit more on stocks, precious metal stocks, especially gold stocks, and the discrepancy, I think we can say, that we are seeing between some of the developers. Now there's no secret here that we've been interviewing a lot of companies, especially this year. There's a lot of good work going on in the precious metals sector. However, it seems like exploration companies, if they're hitting some high grade, man, oh man, the sky's the limit for some of those stocks. And some of the larger major miners, they rebounded before gold rebounded after that 7 to 8 month correction. But it's these developers, these companies with known assets that are moving through either PEAs or feasibility studies or in the middle of all of these, that show profitable mines, especially at lower prices. But you look at around current prices and boy, oh boy, these things have great IRRs and they seem to have a path to production. However, you compare their market cap to the NPV of whatever economic study they have out, there are some big disconnects out there, and it's not just a couple companies. It's a number of these developers. What are your thoughts, Dave, on why it seems like these developers, ones with known resources, seem to be lagging the broad gold sector?
Yeah, Corey, I know exactly what you mean. You know, I've taken positions in a few companies like this, and noticed that was, you know, they were on my watch list for quite some time. And I figured the sector is bottoming here. These are the companies I should a couple of these companies on my watch list, I should get into them because their market cap in relation to their IRR, the jurisdiction they're in, how many ounces they proved up, how much cash they have in the bank, in relation to some of these miners who've already start to really go higher. And I figured there'd be some sector rotation going on where the investors would take some of that money out of the miners that have made these strong moves and rotate that capital into some of these developers that have yet to take off. And indeed, that has taken place in a few of them, like you said, but there are a few, you just scratch your head, they haven't moved yet. And I'm glad you asked me this question because this has happened to me over the past few cycles. And I learned over the past few cycles not to lose patience and sell them and then just say, okay, this one isn't moving. I should sell this and put it into something that has already moved. Look, it's already gone up this high and I should just jump on that train that's already taken off. And it was a mistake because as soon as I did it, the company in question took off. So you just never know when these things are gonna take off. But I think a good gauge would be once the gold price finally gets above 1950, I think that's when you're going to start to see some of these other juniors take off. Because granted, a lot of these juniors have already taken off, but there are still quite a few that haven't yet. And I think when the light switch goes on, it'll be once the gold price gets over 1950. And we've got a quarterly close coming up here, Corey, and there's three numbers that I'm looking at to have a quarterly close over, well, one under and two over. If we see a quarterly close above 1950, that's going to get a lot of momentum players back into this sector. And the other number is 2850 on the silver price, you know, because there's really strong resistance there at 30. But on a quarterly basis, if we see a quarterly basis close over 2850, which we haven't yet, we haven't even seen a monthly close over 2850, I don't think, during this consolidation. That'll bring momentum players into silver, and silver is more tied to the inflation trade. And then the third number I'm looking at is on the dollar index. There's really strong support at 89. It's been support for quite a long time. If we see a quarterly close below 89 on the dollar index, it could drop down pretty quickly, and that would be a huge catalyst for the gold price. So if those three numbers are closed above and below at the end of the quarter, at the end of this month, I think we could have a very good beginning to the second half of the year in the sector.
Okay, so Dave, you've outlined a couple price levels there, and in all fairness, silver, $2,850. Boy, oh boy, I've heard that for a couple months now, and silver just can't quite get above there. But back to the underlying companies here, these development companies, it seems like they're doing the right work. These companies have big drill programs. They're continuing to de-risk their projects. Now, obviously, new discoveries, even new higher-grade discoveries, would provide that catalyst, but what else? What other company actions, company work do you like to see in these developers that you think could get them revalued here quicker than, I guess, some of the others?
Well, I think, there's one I could give you an example on. The company is O3 Mining. I've been high on this stock for quite a while. They've got quite a bit of cash in the bank. I think cash and investments, you know, they made a deal with Moneta Porcupine on to sell one of their projects and took all shares. So I think including that, they've got like $128 million in cash. They've got a 250,000 meter drill program going on in a top tier jurisdiction in the Val-d'Or district in Quebec. And they've got a really tight share structure. But you don't see very much liquidity in the stock, and they keep releasing very good results, very good grades, not fantastic, but economic. They've got a fantastic project in their Marban project. They're working on some satellite pits on that project, but the stock doesn't really tend to move that much. And I was talking with the CEO, Jose Vizcarra, the other day, and I said something to consider would be to get a U.S. listing, because I keep getting these emails from subscribers and from other people saying, you know, Fidelity has changed the rules on my investment from my retirement account, and I cannot invest in penny stocks. I can only invest in stocks with big board listings above $5. And a lot of these mid-tier mining companies need to make the next step. They've got all this cash. They've got a great project. They've got a great management team doing the right things in the right place in a top-tier jurisdiction. Go ahead and spend the money and get that big board listing and get more generalist investors interested and able to invest in your stock and promote your stock more also, you know. So I think that are a few things that some of these companies could do.
Yeah, Dave, I completely agree. And as people know, I have a large basket of stocks. So some of them are producers, some of them are explorers, but I have a lot of developers. And I've noticed that what you're saying about O3 Mining and what Corey alluded to, I'm seeing it across the board. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Midas Gold, Marathon Gold, Probe Metals. If you look at Cartier Resources, which I know you are familiar with as well, a lot of these companies have done good work. They've got ounces in the ground. They've done everything right. But I don't see that the typical investors in the resource space care or are valuing, you know, the mismatch between where their economic studies are and where their market caps are. But they obviously care about the exploration plays, as you mentioned, because if they hit pay dirt, people are going to care. The producers generally get the generalist money because they're in the GDX, they're in the GDXJ. People may invest in the largest producers because they have big money. What do you think the generalist will bring to the table that the resource investors that are trading amongst themselves haven't been? And like, do you really think more analysts will come into the space and say, hey, there's a huge mismatch here between these development stories, market caps, and what their projects are worth? I mean, is it just going to be the gold price movement, or is there something bigger than that?
I think it's a combination of a couple things, Chad. It's going to be the gold price movement, that gold price getting back above 1950, and the stock market rolling over in earnest. I mean, each time the stock market starts to roll over, you see buying come in. So, you know, most generalist investors still associate this sector with very risky stocks, and they're right. I mean, there's a lot of risky stocks in this sector, but the majors have done a great job of bringing respectability back into this sector. I mean, they've done a great job of getting their balance sheets healthy again, raising their dividends. They've also done a great job of keeping all-in sustaining costs right around $1,000. And you know, with gold at $1,900 here, you know, they're making quite a bit of money, and their quarterly reports are showing that, you know, it's really starting to bring generalist investors into the miners, but they have yet to go down that food chain into a lot of these juniors. Granted, some of these juniors have taken off and they're starting to get love, but it hasn't taken place across the entire sector. And I really think that once that gold price gets back above 1950, and if it coincides with the stock market rolling over, then you're going to start to see even the turkeys start to fly.
And I agree. I would also submit that some of these development plays aren't turkeys, and they're not even that risky because they have real assets underpinning their value, especially
compared to a Dogecoin.
Correct. So, like, this is something legit that has intrinsic value. So then that begs the next question: if the majors have done well, like you mentioned, and they've managed their capital, when will they start buying some of these development projects? Because you have to believe they are looking at these. I realize they can't go on site visits with the COVID travel, but they're not idiots. They're looking at these economic studies as they come out, just like we are. These big companies that are producers are looking to bolt on operations that can help them grow for the next 10, 15, 20 years. Surely we should start seeing some M&A pick up in the sector. And what do you think will be the catalyst for that?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more. I mean, yeah, you've got to believe that their investors are going to start clamoring for it. I mean, because that's what happened at the peak of the last bull market. Investors were clamoring for more ounces. They just went about it the wrong way. They ended up going after large bulk tonnage deposits and just wanted to put ounces on the books at a top, and they did it with dilution. Well, this time they're doing it correctly. They're taking investments in these companies first, you know, either 10% up to 19.9% of these companies first. And then once they finally do pull the trigger, they're doing it with cash instead of dilution. So, I mean, we didn't see hardly any cash deals during the last bull market. This one, most of them have been cash deals. That's very important. And it's bringing health back into the sector. And I think it's eventually going to start to bring these generalist investors back in the sector. And these investors that are clamoring for more ounces, these majors are going to do it the right way this time. They've already, like I said, they've already started to do it the right way by taking investments already. So when they go ahead and take over the company, it doesn't cost as much because they already own a big chunk.
So Dave, I guess to summarize this, look, I understand the upside potential here for these developers. And quite frankly, if they get into production, who knows, maybe that then drives some more investors into them. But is that the area to be? Is that where you're focusing? Because it sounds like still a lot of, let's say, the catalysts are in a way out of their control. These companies can't control when they're going to get taken out. And, well, they're on pretty strict timelines in terms of getting into production. So are you focusing in this sector? Or are you looking to different precious metal stocks?
Oh, I have a basket of companies that I believe are near-term takeover candidates, but all my positions aren't like that. You know, my portfolio, the base of my portfolio, I have a strong base in my portfolio of growth-oriented producers, you know, juniors that are producers that have yet to reach a billion market cap but are growing, and they have the potential to go up 3, 4, 5, 6 times from here. That generates the base of my portfolio. Then the next level is these companies that I believe either are long-term takeover candidates or short-term takeover candidates. Some of them are at the finance stage. Some of them are at the PEA stage. Some of them are still de-risking towards the PEA stage. And then the higher risk section of my portfolio is the drill plays. I don't have too many of those, but you don't have to have too many of those if you hit just on a couple of them. So I try to manage my risk within the portfolio in different areas of juniors, as well as continuing to shave profits off of my core positions as they go higher.
All right, Dave, great chatting with you. As always, man, good discussion here, because there definitely is this disconnect with some of these developers when they are showing some very good economics and a timeline to production, really. So Let's see if they do get kind of re-rated here, but right now they definitely are the ones that are lagging the sector. That being said, look, hard to keep up with some of these exploration programs that just keep on pushing market caps to some pretty extreme levels. Dave, thanks for your time. We will post a link to your website below so everyone can stay up to date with you, and we will chat next week. So Dave, have a great rest of your week.
Thanks a lot, Corey, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. And in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of O3 Mining and Cartier, and I cover both of those stocks in my newsletter.